Chapter 3. Liz. Lemus lived in a small, dirty flat on the top floor of an old building. There was a grocer's shop on the ground floor. The flat had old brown furniture and a brown carpet with holes. Bare light bulbs hung from the ceilings. He needed a job. Mr. Pitt, who worked at the Labour Exchange, offered him one at the Bayswater Library. But Lemus did not want to work in a library, so he said no. Lemus thought he recognised Mr. Pitt. He was certain that he had seen him at the circus during the war, but the other man never mentioned it. Lemus spent a week working in a horrible factory and a week trying to sell encyclopedias that nobody wanted. After he lost these jobs, he drank more and more at a pub near his flat. Soon, people were used to seeing him there and in the shops and on the streets near where he lived. He was a grey, dirty man who did not shave. He never spoke to anyone. He was a man who had to look in all his pockets to find a bit of money. His neighbours felt sorry for him. Finally, Lemus took the job in the Bayswater Library. "The work will be easy for an intelligent man like you," said Mr. Pitt. Bayswater Library was an old building with lots of high bookcases in rows. On the morning Lemus arrived there, he found a young woman on a ladder near one of the bookcases. "I'm the new person," he said. "My name's Lemus." She climbed down and shook his hand.
"I'm Elizabeth Gold. Call me Liz," the young woman said. "Have you done this kind of work before?"
"No," he said.
"Well, I'm checking all the books at the moment," Liz said.
Liz was tall and bony with long legs. Her face was long too, and she seemed to be both plain and beautiful at the same time. Lemus thought that she was 22 or 23.
"You need to check that all the books are on the shelves," she said. "There are boxes of cards. When you've checked the number on the book, you tick it on the card. Why don't you look at the history books?"
She took him to a different bookcase, where a shoebox of cards lay on the floor. She left him there and went back to her work. At 1 p.m, Lemus was hungry and asked Liz Gold what happened about lunch.
"Oh," she replied, looking a bit embarrassed, "I bring sandwiches. There's no cafe near here. You can have some of mine if you like."
Lemus shook his head. "No, thanks. I've got some shopping to do." When Lemus returned, he smelt of whiskey. He went back to his bookcase and started checking books again. At 6 p.m, Liz locked the library and they left. It was bitterly cold outside. "Have you got far to go?" asked Lemus.
"No," said Liz. "My flat's about 20 minutes' walk away. What about you?"
"It's not far," he said. "Good night." About 3 weeks after Lemus began to work at the library, Liz invited him to supper. At 5 p.m, she pretended that she had suddenly had the idea. She had already realised that he would not come if she invited him to come the next day or next week. Lemus did not seem very happy about visiting her, but he came. After that, there were many meals at Liz's flat. He always came when she asked him, but he never spoke much.
Liz always suspected that there was something wrong with Lemus. One day, she thought, he is going to disappear, and I'm never going to see him again. She said to him one evening, "You must go when you want to go, Alec. I'll never follow you." His brown eyes looked at her for a moment. Then he said, "I'll tell you when I'm going to go." One evening she said, "Alec, what do you believe in? Don't laugh, tell me." She waited, and at last he shrugged and said nothing. "But you must believe in something," she said, "something like God. I know you do. Sometimes you look like you've got something special to do." She saw Lemus's smile and hated it. "Alec, don't smile," she said. "It's true." He stopped smiling.
"Sorry, Liz, but you're wrong," he said.
Liz knew he was getting angry, but she continued speaking. "You don't like conversations like this because you hate something, don't you?" she said. "You're like a man who is going to do something awful." The brown eyes looked at her, and when he spoke, his voice frightened her.
"If I were you," he said, "I wouldn't ask questions."
And then he smiled gently. Liz hadn't seen him smile like that before. He was being kind to her now.
"What do you believe in?" he asked. "Are you religious?"
"No, of course not. I don't believe in God," she replied.
"Then what do you believe in?"
I'm a communist," she said quickly. He started to laugh.
"Oh, Liz, no. You're not a bloody communist."
"I am," she said, looking embarrassed. She was angry that he laughed, but she was also happy that he did not care very much. That night, they became lovers. He left at 5 a.m. She could not understand why he seemed ashamed. She was not ashamed. Lemus walked down the empty street towards a park. It was foggy, so he did not see a man standing by the entrance to the park. By the time Lemus got to the entrance, the man had gone. Then, one day, about a week later, Lemus did not come in to work, and Liz was worried. The next morning, she arrived early at the library, and by the end of the morning, she knew he would never come back to his job. She had promised never to follow him, but he had promised to tell her when he was going away. Should she go and find him? At lunchtime, she went to Lemus's flat. She went up the dark stairs and knocked on the door. No one came. She turned the handle, and the door opened. Quietly, she went into the flat. It was bitterly cold and dark, but she could see a shape lying on the bed in the corner. She opened the curtains. Lemus was sweating, and his eyes were closed. He had not shaved for days, and Liz could see his dark beard against the white of his face. She was frightened, but she soon decided what to do. In the next few hours, she ran to the chemist to buy medicine, bought soup and soft biscuits, and made tea. She held Lemus's head so he could drink and eat, whispering his name over and over again. At last, he stopped sweating and relaxed, and he fell asleep. Then Liz cleaned the flat. When he woke, it was 8:30 p.m.
"Alec, don't be cross with me.
You're ill. You need me to look after you, she said.
For 6 days, she made him eat and helped him to wash and shave. Watching him get stronger after his illness, she thought she'd never been so happy. He did not speak much, and once, when she asked him if he loved her, he said he did not believe in happy endings to stories. She often lay on the bed with her head close to his. Then, on Friday evening when she came home, he was dressed, but he had not shaved. She was afraid, although she did not know why. She cooked their supper while Lemus sat on the bed without speaking. While they were eating, she suddenly cried out,
"Alec, are you leaving?"
He took her hands in his and kissed her in a way he had never done before. He spoke quietly, but she did not understand what he said. She only knew that it was the end.
"Goodbye, Liz," he said. "Goodbye."
And then he added,
"Don't follow me. Not again."
Liz nodded, and she went out into the bitter cold of the street outside. The next morning, Lemus went to the grocer's shop downstairs and ordered a number of things. When the man had put them in a bag, Lemus picked it up.
"I'll pay for these later," he said.
The grocer smiled politely and said,
"I'm sorry, but you can't do that."
"Why not?" asked Lemus angrily.
The other customers in the shop looked at each other nervously.
"I don't know you," replied the grocer.
"Don't be stupid. I've been coming in here for 4 months," said Lemus.
"You must pay for the groceries," said the grocer. "I don't know you, and I don't like you. Now get out of my shop."
And he put out his hand to take the bag away from Lemus. The other customers were not certain what happened next. Did the grocer push Lemus or not? They saw that Lemus hit the grocer with his left hand while he was still holding the bag in his right hand. Some of the customers thought he hit the grocer twice, once on his neck with the side of his left hand, and then with his left elbow. But he moved so quickly that they were not really certain what he did. They saw the grocer fall over and lie completely still on the floor. There was evidence at his trial that Lemus had broken the bones in the grocer's jaw and in one of his cheeks. Lemus's lawyer did not disagree, and Lemus was sentenced to 3 months in prison. Some people learned about the trial in small articles in the newspapers.